or a program. Because what we're seeking is someone who can communicate with an audience, because that is the passport to becoming, having a great career in opera. As you can imagine, it wasn't an easy task this evening. But we've reached a decision. I would now like to ask our beloved patron, Dame Kirieta Kanawa, to announce the name of the winner and to present the Cardiff Trophy.
Tonight, the BBC Cardiff Singer of the World, the first prize and the most amazing prize goes to Jamie Barton.
Well, clearly a very popular decision here in Cardiff. Jamie Barton, the 31-year-old mezzo representing the USA, is the 2013 Cardiff Singer of the World. Ian and Amanda, any dissenting voices?
No dissent at all from here. Tonight I think it was a no-brainer. I think she just blew them out of the water. You couldn't argue with a note she sang. It's a potentially historic voice, like a trombone in its lower registers. Amazing range of sound and expression. She sang wonderfully.
No, Amanda. She filled the room with her voice and with her personality, her musicianship, her character. It was a foregone conclusion, really.
Well, here she is in a floor-length russet-coloured dress with some glittery gold decoration around the shoulders and the sleeves, the arms, I should say. Not just shaking hands with each member of the jury, but getting a warm embrace there from Neil Shikoff, a slightly cooler embrace from Håkon Hagavor. But it is, you have to say, an utterly amazing achievement, a double achievement. Jamie Barton from the USA has carried off both the song prize and is at this very moment lifting aloft the Cardiff Trophy, which bears the coveted title BBC Cardiff Singer of the Year 2013. Well, in just over 2 months' time, the whole magnificently complex machinery, which is the Cardiff Singer of the World competition, will begin clicking and whirring into action to find another 20 outstanding voices who will appear on this stage in June 2015. Those cheers, by the way, for the other amazing competitors, each of them an absolutely worthy winner in possibility. The other four voices we've heard this evening. As the applause continues and Jamie Barton stands centre stage, gripping that trophy, looking at it now with maybe just a hint of disbelief. Time for us to say farewell from Cardiff and return you to Jonathan Swain in Broadcasting House.
Donald, thank you very much. Donald MacLeod at St David's Hall in Cardiff, and heartfelt congratulations from this end of things to Jamie Barton, not forgetting the red-jeaned Ben Jonson. Well, there should be some fine singing in Tuesday night's Radio 3 Live in Concert this week. It's a performance from St Paul's Cathedral of Benjamin Britten's most powerful and personal work, The War Requiem, with soprano Albina Shagimuratova, tenor Toby Spence and baritone Russell Braun, and Edward Gardner conducting the City of Birmingham Symphony Chorus and Orchestra and the Choristers of St Paul's. That's live from St Paul's Cathedral and here on BBC Radio 3 starting at 8 o'clock this coming Tuesday evening. Well, back to this Sunday evening. It's 3 minutes past 10. And time now for World Roots with Lucy Duran.
Welcome to World Roots. On tonight's programme, reviews of some recent world music CDs by Afrobeat superstar Femi Kuti, Algerian rock and rai singer Rashid Taha, and music from both Crete and Egypt. I'll be joined by the journalists Jane Cornwell and Reda Elmawi for discussion of these CDs. First, a song by a group of musicians who call themselves Los Desterrados, the Exiles. Here they are in the World Roots studio with their song Kiriateinu.
Kiriateinu melea nehora, mizugote orti peara, mizugote orti peara. Hatanagul hoshatara, hatanagul hoshatara. Sokalato ya alat hayat nefeshita.
That was Los Desterrados, the Exiles, a UK-based band which explores ancient Judeo-Spanish musical traditions. And that was their own version of Kiriateinu, a wedding song sung in the endangered language of Ladino, recorded specially for us here in our World Roots studio. Later on in the programme, we'll have more from that session, as well as a chat with members of the group to learn about their particular approach to this largely overlooked repertoire and the ways in which they're refreshing it for modern audiences. First, though, we'll be taking a look at some of the exciting new releases from the world music record industry. And joining me today to do that are critics and journalists Jane Cornwell and Reda El-Mawi. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, Lisa.
So, Jane, you have brought an album that lots of people will want to know our thoughts on.
Yes, I've brought Femi Kuti's new album, No Place for My Dream. As most people will know, Femi Kuti is the eldest son of the late great Fela Kuti, and in recent years has been a little bit in competition with his brother Sheyun. This is a song in English, very political. It's called The World is Changing.
When you see what is going on in the world today, you will agree that poverty is winning the game. More people are suffering, more people are very poor. The suffering people can't take anymore.
The World is Changing from Femi Kuti's new album, No Place for My Dream, released on the 22nd of April on RAS Records. So, Jane, why did you want to play that particular track?
Well, I think mainly because I watched the video, and I think the video is hammering home a message that Femi hammers quite effectively already. I mean, the cover of this album shows a woman walking through a rubbish dump in Nigeria. And Femi's really up in arms, as he always has been, but more than ever, about poverty, about global warming, inequality, all sorts of things. And this is what he's talking about in The World is Changing in English. It's inspired by all these things. I mean, I'm watching the video, you know, it's very effective. And I think if the lyrics seem trite on listening, when you watch it and it's sort of incense around, as it were, it's much more effective.
Reda.
The music is fantastic to listen to. Afrobeat is about conveying a very strong message with a very nice music. It's a music that you can dance to, although you might feel a bit guilty because of the message. I mean, my problem is with the lyrics, with the message, because it sounds a bit basic and stereotypical. I mean, for instance, here on the sleeve, he says, this album is dedicated to the millions of Africans suffering in Congo, Somalia, Sudan, South Africa, Nigeria, etc.
I mean, he's right. This is absolutely true. But he does also say that, you know, he's not only referring to African poverty. He's saying that even in the USA, there's poverty around the world. But on the other hand, What is he suggesting to do about it?
This song, in a way, I think the fact that it's English will open it up to people that perhaps don't know the work of Feller, that, you know, offer a platform to the rest of the album, which talks about corrupt politicians, just as his father did. And I think what Afrobeat really does is the horn section really helps hammer this message home. It's, you know, it's virtually...
Yeah, it's a big wall of sound, isn't it? Which his father also did. Although he tries, Femi wants to distance himself from his father's style in a way, but I mean, it is, in effect, it is Afrobeat.
Well, Femi is adding the organ, he's adding a little touches here and there, a bit more guitar, a bit more, you know, other kind of creative flourishes. I think what's been happening for a long time now is that Femi and Sheyun, the younger scion of Fela, they've kind of been at loggerheads, and Sheyun has got his father's old band backing him. He dresses in his father's clothes. He's effectively like a stars in your eyes. Tonight I'm going to be Fela Kuti, you know. Whereas Femi is always seemed to me much more sort of tortured, much more political, much more interesting. And I think that, you know, this album, it's a good album. It's a tight album. There's an amazing instrumental on there that just shows the musicality of it all.
Yeah, I mean, to my mind, I always feel that Femi could do with being more musical. I always find while I'm listening to his music, It's great rhythm, it's driving, you know, it's a big wall of sound, it's a driving rhythm. It makes me want to dance, it makes me feel good, even if the lyrics are very poignant sometimes. But the bottom line is, when I go away from a Femi Kuti concert, I can never remember a single tune of his. And I think he needs to work more on his melody. That's the only thing that I would say. Well, Femi Kuti's album No Place for My Dream, as I said earlier on, is out on RAS Records. So let's move on to another great African artist, another veteran African artist, Rashid Taha. Tell us about him.
Yes, Renner. North African stroke French stroke universal musicians. This is how he wants to portray himself. And identity is at the centre of his work. I chose the album Zoom. This is the 9th solo album by him in his 30 years career. I chose the song Zoom sur which means I zoom back to And we will find out who is after the song.
Des chats aux yeux perçants, qu'aucun vent ne vient d'Aden pour me sabler le champagne, qu'aucun tapis ne m'envole sous les barrières, les montagnes, sous les barrières, les montagnes. Alors je m'affranchis, me désenclave, me désesclave, je m'adresse des timbres. Arabiscoté, des langues étranges et roulantes, aux arabesques intrigantes, aux arabesques intrigantes. Je zoome sur Oum, le ton d'une mélopée. Je zoome sur Oum, et ça me désoriente. Je zoome sur Oum, le ton d'une mélopée. Je zoome sur Oum, et ça me désoriente. Quand je m'oxyde de l'Occident, quand tout est gris, quand tout est terne, qu'ici la vie montre les dents, voudrait se croire éternel. Quand le désert parle à mon âme, me dit le vent vient du levant, et que j'entends c'est je t'attends, que j'entends c'est je t'attends.
Zoom sur by Rashid Taha from his new album Zoom, which was released a couple of months ago on UK label RAS Records. So, Reda, what's your take on Rashid Taha and on this album?
I mean, this is a far cry from his previous album from 2009, Bonjour, which was described as a sorry adventure in Europop. Now he's back doing what he knows best, which is bridging the gap between Arabic and Western music in a hybrid mix. And this hybrid mix is what we see in most of the songs here. This song, I Zoom Back to this is a tribute to the diva of Arabic music, very famous Kulthum, who died in 1975.
A million people went to her funeral, the Nightingale of the Nile.
Absolutely. This was the second biggest funeral in Egypt after that of Nasser. And she was very much linked to the politics of that time. And the sample that we heard at the beginning of the song is from one of her most famous hits, Anta Omri, You Are My Life, from 1965. And in this song, actually, there is a very telling line where he says, I zoom back to and it disorientates me, as if he wants to suggest that the Orient that he's looking for is only a fruit of his imagination.
Mm, that's a nice idea. Jane, I know you're a great fan of Rashid Taha.
I am indeed. I've loved Rashid's work. And, you know, I just think he's an incredible artist. He was back 30 years ago with a trio of Arab artists called Carte de Séjour, who took the song Douce France and flipped it and made it a sort of statement about racism. And he's still, this whole notion of xenophobia and how it affects the sort of the minority in France is very central to him. What is also very central is his rock and roll aesthetic, and he's a rock and rye artist, effectively. And here we've got everybody from The Clash's Mick Jones to producer Justin Adams, who I think is key. And Justin's worked with everybody from Robert Plant to a host of African artists, but he's a guitarist as well. And you can really hear that sort of bluesy guitar in here. So you've got surf guitar, you've got all sorts of stuff kind of vying and blending. And I just think it's a great album. And the fact that he can sort of go from Kulthum and then do a cover of Now or Never, which is Elvis, I think that sums up his schizophrenia in a way, which is a great thing.
Well, it's not schizophrenia, is it? It's all just part
musical of... schizophrenia.
He seems to bridge that gap between Elvis Presley and Kulthum quite well, I would say. However, I really do not like the original song, Now or Never. I think it's very, very corny, and I think it's equally corny when Rashid Taha does it,
but
I'm afraid.
He knows it's corny. He knows it's corny.
I know,
this
it's
comic.
It's
this heroic comic presence on stage, and he's known for that. But this album is not as good as Diwan 1, in which he stretched his ability to straddle the divide between Western and Arabic music. In Diwan 2, 8 years later, in 2008, he tried this. I mean, he's back to what he knows best here, but still not as compelling as his original attempts to do this mixture of
that's true. I think Diwan was, I think this, if there is a fault, there's that it's too mannered and it tries a little bit too hard. But I love the sense of humour running through it as well.
And he is a wonderful performer. I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch.
He falls over a lot.
He always wears that hat, doesn't he? Kind of down over his eyes and tends to kind of turn his back to the audience or his side to the audience. And he's the anti-performer, isn't he?
He's like Joe Strummer meets Charlie Chaplin, I think. That's probably a good description.
Rashid Taha's new album, Zoom, is out on Ras Records. You're listening to World Roots on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Duran, and the journalists and critics Jane Cornwell and Reda El-Mawi. And as always, details of all the music played in today's programme can be found on the world music pages of the Radio 3 website. So we go from North Africa via Paris, via the UK, via the world to the island of Crete and one of the most, the most famous musical family on that island and one of the most famous in Greece.
That's right, and that's the Xylouris family. And this is an album called No Matter How Strong the Wind Blows, although the translation varies, I think, on the website. It's by Georgios Xylouris, who's a lute player, and it's called No Matter How Strong the Wind Blows. It's a traditional track.
Thank you. Well, that was a track by one of the great musicians of the island of Crete. His name is Yorgis Xylouris. And the track in Greek is Oso Kianderni O Anemos. And in English, it is rather badly translated as on the album as Even Though Beats the Wind. But as Jane Cornwell points out, it is probably closer to No Matter How Strong the Wind Blows. That was the title track of the album, and it came out at the end of last year on the label All Together Now. Jane, you tell me that this is actually quite difficult to get hold of, but they do have a website where one could get the album.
Yes, the Greek music industry is quite in tatters, really. I mean, you just got to look at the broadcasters closed down and, you know, it's just very, very difficult for any musician in Greece to have a record that's bought in the shop. So this is put together by a collective called All Together Now. The website is www.alltogethernow.gr for Greece. And the lyrics of this song actually are quite fitting, because what it's saying is, no matter how strong the wind blows and churns up the sea, the sky clears once again, restoring serenity. And I think it's a bit of a comment on contemporary Greece in a way. And the music is still there. I mean, the music is all pervasive when you go to Crete. It's just that, as I say, you can't go and physically buy it.
Well, it's more of a comment of the hopes of Greeks that things, that the sky will clear. Cretans are always very optimistic, and that's reflected in their music.
Well, that's right. And I spent some time with Yorgos and the Xylouris family in Crete recently, and they're quite phenomenal. And they really are a clan that...
they're the royalty of Crete.
They really are. I mean, you could do a great family tree and sort of put it up on the wall.
Reda, do you feel any resonances with Middle Eastern music in the music of Crete?
I mean, the lute, the oud, is a common instrument around the Mediterranean. And also there is this nostalgia that we feel in this music, although it's slightly different than Middle Eastern music, but there is a lot of resemblance with Syrian buzuk as well. Also, I'm very fascinated by the generational aspect of this group, whereby a generation passes on the heritage to another generation. Even some of them are not anymore living in Crete, miles away, thousands of miles away.
Well,
in Australia.
Because George, yes, he spent 8 years in Australia. He's married to an Australian. He has Greek-Australian children, three of whom are in the Xylouris ensemble. And there's just a different kind of sensibility in there that gives it an edge. And also, certainly with this, there's a space that's carved into the album by cello players, by sort of jazz musicians. And he's really into collaborating and experimenting, and I think that's great, and it will really sort of take Cretan music forward.
But it's very, very Cretan at the end of the day.
It's traditional tunes that he's reworked.
And traditional rhythms and dance rhythms, yeah, and so on. Yes, yes, absolutely. So that is the album Oso Kianderni O Anemos by Yorgis Xylouris, and it is available on the All Together Now website. Reda, for the final album that we're playing on this part of the programme today, we go to something that is extremely topical from your part of the world.
Absolutely. It's an album called Arabic Revolution. It's another bad translation. I think it should have been Arab Revolution. And it's the rough guide to Arabic Revolution. And we're going to listen to a song by Mustafa Saeed, and it's titled Ya Masr Hanit Wibanit, which means it's getting there, it's clear now.
نهارنا نادي وبقدينا على فكرة الصبح عنده فضول رح نعمل ايه بكرة نهارنا نادي وبقدينا على فكرة الصبح عنده فضول رح نعمل ايه بكرة ايده على الباب وخايف يلمس الأكرة على الباب وخايف يلمس الأكرة ادخل يا أستاذ براحتك والبلد حرة احنا زهقنا نشوف الصبح من برة ادخل يا أستاذ براحتك والبلد حرة احنا زهقنا نشوف الصبح من برة ادخل وخرج بقايا العتمة بالمرة ادخل وخرج بقايا العتمة بالمرة الناس دي حرة وجنود الأمن مضطرة يا
صبح طلعت رحنا لاجل تيجي يا خي طالعين نجيبها اهو في كل حارة وحي يا صبح طلعت رحنا لاجل تيجي يا خي طالعين نجيبها اهو.
That was the Egyptian blind singer and oud player Mustafa Said from the CD The Rough Guide to Arabic Revolution, and that came out in March as part of the Rough Guide World Music series. So, Reda, tell us about Mustafa Said.
Mustafa Said is a musicologist and a music teacher in Egypt, and now he moved to Lebanon where he teaches traditional Arabic music. He came to prominence during the uprising in Egypt in 2011. And I chose this song because the way it was crafted and delivered, so to say, is steeped in a well-established tradition that dates back from the 1950s, whereby a poet writes down his lyrics and hands them to a singer. But traditionally, even if the poet is in jail, normally he's not allowed to have paper and pen, so he recites the poem to other inmates until it reaches the street and it's handed over to singers to compose these songs. And this is what happened with this song, with the only difference that the songwriter is a Palestinian poet living in America, and he delivered this song through internet. And Mustafa Said took this song and he composed it and performed it in Tahrir Square in Cairo. And this actually is the essence of the Arab Spring or the uprising, which is the speed of delivery and the role of the internet and social media in this movement.
And actually, what's he singing about? Because the lyrics are clearly a very important part of that song by Mustafa Said.
Yes, and very timely as well. It was before the departure of Hosni Mubarak. And it says, "It's getting there, it's only a few days away. Our day is radiant and the villain's day is gone. What's left of the state, it's just a few batons. And if you don't believe it, come to the square and check for yourself."
Jane, but so what about the other contents, the other tracks on the album? How do you feel it represents the Arab Spring?
Well, I think it really does skim the surface, and like any compilation, that's really all you can do. This is actually a double album. There's a whole CD devoted to Rami Essam, who's a young singer-songwriter who, interesting what you just said, Raider, with his song Erhal, which actually isn't on here, but he composed that when the sort of the liberation, as it were, happened in Tahrir Square, went sort of off stage, wrote some stuff down, came back on stage and sang this song called Erhal, which means leave, and it became a sort of an anthem. My problem with the album is that there's a sort of of women artists. I think there's some amazing artists here, but out of 13 tracks, there are only two female singers. One, May Mehta, addresses sexism in response to a Lebanese hit by Mohamed Iskander, which criticised women in the workplace. But apart from that, there's nothing, and I think that's a shame.
Although Rami Essam is a fantastic singer, but I think they could have freed the space for the second CD to many new talents that emerged during the last 2 years, like and much more women, of course. There is Rimbanna from Palestine and Miriam Sassi from Algeria. So we didn't hear that much female voices. And they played a tremendous role on the ground and musically as well during this uprising. And they took part in all other forms of artistic creativity, whether in graffiti, in poetry or in singing.
Well, I mean, it's an enormous geographical area to cover, the idea of the Arab Revolution. So, you know, to be fair, it's always hard to make a choice when you're doing a compilation. And also there are other factors that I think sometimes we don't take into consideration, such as sometimes record companies don't want their tracks to be licensed. So, you know, I think there are some really lovely tracks on this album. But what's the purpose of a compilation like this? Are we looking through the music at the issues that were raised, or are we just looking at the range of musical expression that helped along the Arab Spring?
I would say the latter, because they're expressing their anger and frustration and also hopes in different ways. There are some rock genres, also hip-hop, and traditional songs like the one we listen to.
I think a point with all this as well is how a lot of these singers put themselves absolutely on the line, and some were actually tortured
and some were
incarcerated
killed.
And killed afterwards.
Well, we've been talking about the Rough Guide to Arabic Revolution, which is out now on the Rough Guide World Music Network label. And a big thanks to both of you, Jane Cornwell and Reda Elmawi, for joining us here in the World Roots studio. And as always, details of all the music we play on the programme will be available on the World Roots pages of the Radio 3 website. Can I remind you that you can also access the World Roots archive there? These are on-location recordings by the World Roots team from around the world. You're listening to World Roots on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Duran. And now we go back to the group that you heard at the beginning of the programme, Los Desterrados. This is a UK-based band who was formed in 2000 with the idea of exploring the largely overlooked Judeo-Spanish repertoire, built over the centuries, not only in the Iberian Peninsula, but all around the Mediterranean. And the songs are mainly sung in Ladino. They've released 4 albums so far and we'll be hearing music from their latest collaboration. In this session, Los Desterrados are Daniel Jonas on guitar, oud and vocals, Hayley Blitz, vocals, Drew Salida, guitar, flute, vocals, Ilana Kravitz, violin, Mark Greenfield and Peter Radcliffe, percussion, and Len Bendel on bass and vocals. And we're going to hear the song called Secretos, meaning secrets, a traditional mystical poem.
Thank you.
Los Desterrados, here in session in the World Roots studio. Seven musicians with a variety of percussion, plus violin, oud, guitar, well, two guitars, flute and bass. I'm going to be talking to two members of the band, Daniel Jonas, who is the oud player and also the founder of the group, and the singer, that beautiful female voice that you hear is Hayley Blitz. Thank you so much for coming in, all of you, and joining us here on World Roots. It's very exciting to hear about this new project. For me, it's a new project, Los Desterrados. Mm-hmm. That song that you just sang was called Secretos. So let's start by asking you about what that song is about.
Well, like many of the Sephardic songs, it's a sad song. It's about love going wrong, and it's full of different metaphors for things. Ink, paper, tears, trees, those sorts of things. Very sad.
So your project is essentially to rescue and to, I suppose, what, modernize the Judeo-Spanish tradition. Is that a good enough representation of what you do, Daniel?
It's a good place to start. I mean, we're building on the really serious work that's been done, collecting, collating, understanding all the sort of historical context and all the stuff that needs to be done by sort of serious academics. But what we're doing is saying, well, this is music, right? We're not running a museum. What would it take for people to hear this? People don't want to necessarily hear, you know, pots and pans in the kitchen as it would have been done in 1917 in Salonika necessarily. But we're doing this so a modern audience can hear it, get into it, and, you know, own it to a certain extent.
Hayley, do you have a background as Judeo-Spanish? Are you Sephardic?
Interesting question. Well, we're all a bit Sephardic, I think. We all have a Sephardic element in our background.
That is, so you, all of you in the band or the world, the whole world?
I actually do think that's a good point. I think probably everybody in the world has some Sephardic element. Yes, but everyone in the band has a touch of Sephardi about them.
And so your own background in this music, in singing in Ladino, for instance, the language, the Judeo-Spanish language, how have you come into this?
Well, I've known Daniel for many years, and at one point when he was learning flamenco guitar, his flamenco guitar teacher said to him, did you realize that a lot of flamenco comes from this Judeo-Spanish canon of songs? To which Daniel said, I must form a band. So he phoned me up and said, how do you fancy singing in Ladino? I thought, well, I'll give it a go. I'm absolutely fascinated by what he'd discovered, and it really started from there.
Because, Hayley, as far as I know, I mean, Daniel, you might also correct me on this, but a lot of the Judeo-Spanish songs were originally sung by women.
Indeed.
And they're from the female perspective.
Yes, I mean, these are, in many cases, between the secular songs tend to be, you know, for the female voice, there's lots of love and relationships and not so much shoes and handbags, but you get the general idea. Whereas the more religious songs tend to be more family songs, or in the case of these specifically para-religious type of songs, they're often not in Ladino at all, but more in Hebrew and for male voice.
What is the next piece of music that you're going to play?
This is Hija Mia, sometimes called Hija Mia Mi Querida. It's very, very famous. It's one of those standards. It's been recorded by everyone, almost everyone. I must have about 5 or 6 different versions of it. And we thought, well, what could we do to really make it ours?
And what do you do to really make it yours?
Well, we thought, first of all, we thought, well, let's give it a jazz flavour. Let's really open up the sort of chordal vocabulary in it. Then let's put some eyebrows on it. We like to play in the more sort of Balkan type of time signatures. So we thought, well, which one haven't we used? We thought, oh, we haven't used 5-4. Then we thought, right, 5-4, weird jazz chords. What else can we do to make it really, really hard? And we thought, oh, I know, Super Locrian. That'll really, really, really upset everybody.
Super Locrian?
Yes.
What's that?
It's this strange mode. I just know it as the James Bond mode.
Great. Okay, so here are Los Desterrados in the studio with us, and they're going to play Hija Mia.
Thank you.
Los Desterrados here in the studio with their song Hija Mia. Well, not at all what I would expect to hear from a Judeo-Spanish project such as yours, because, ooh, what did I hear in there? I heard a bit of Brazil, I heard kind of new flamenco, jazz, as you said earlier on. Dare I say it, a bit of Take Five, Dave Brubeck. Ooh, no. But it's a wonderful and interesting approach, let us say, to a very well-known Ladino language song. So how characteristic is this kind of experimental way of doing the Judeo-Spanish songs?
It's actually really traditional in many ways, because as the Sephardi Jews went on their travels after they were expelled from Spain and Portugal in 1492, every country that they settled in, they took part of that musical tradition and adapted their songs to it. And so as a result, you get Greek people who will hear one of our songs and say, oh, that's this folk song, or somebody from Turkey will say, oh, that's that folk song. And so really, we're borrowing from the cultures that we've grown up in with the music that we've grown up listening to and applying it to the songs exactly how it's always been done. So in a way, we're just continuing that magnificent tradition.
So Danielle and Hayley, I mean, is there an authenticity issue at all? Are there people who kind of are horrified to hear their songs, the songs of their great heritage being done in this way, being done with a bit of jazz and a bit of different
You know, it's
flavors?
Almost like a traditional dish that your mom cooks, and everyone cooks it slightly differently. And so you're always maybe a bit predictive about your family recipe, and you maybe think someone else's family recipe doesn't taste as good. But, you know, it's all in the mix.
So it's just a question of aesthetic. It's not, there isn't an authenticity question, Daniel?
I think I find authenticity, it's a kind of sterile debate. I mean, I live in the Sephardic community in London. I know how things are done. I do them myself. People pick up songs, they use them for all sorts of things. They use them for grace after meals. They use them in liturgical settings. Generally, we've never had someone turn round to us and go, oh, horrified. On the contrary, we've had people come up to us saying, oh, this song that my grandmother used to sing to me, I've never thought of it like that. It brought it all back to me. And at the same time, we've had people, you know, one very eminent ethnomusicologist just turn around and said, you know what? Yeah, play the song. It's just go ahead with it. Do it how you want to do it. It's always been done. You know, people have always added things to it. It's not like we're not sort of saying this is how it was.
To what extent is the Sephardic music repertoire an endangered repertoire? Ladino, I know, is seen as an endangered language.
Yes, it's a UNESCO protected language now with less than 250,000 speakers. So doing this music really helps to keep that language alive.
But in a lot of ways, in musical terms, Los Desterrados is really, we're probably the only band in the UK that specialises in Sephardic music from all around the Mediterranean. We don't just stick to the Balkans, we don't just stick to Morocco, we don't just stick to Turkey. We do the whole thing, and we cover the whole range, but we only do Sephardic music, with a hint of North African and Edot HaMizrach, which the communities of the East, which is again a different subdivision altogether.
And these songs that you're playing for us here in the studio, they're from your latest and fourth album, is that right? And it's just out.
That's right, it's just out. It's called Dos Amantes, Two Lovers. And we're very excited about it. It's our best work to yet.
Well, we have time for one more song, and it would be wonderful if you would play the title track of your new album, Dos Amantes, Two Lovers. What about Two Lovers?
Two Lovers. It's a woman who's telling her mother, I have these two lovers, and one is a cuckold, and so I'm obviously doing something I shouldn't be doing, and the other is private. We're not sure what that really means. It's open to interpretation, but she decides in the course of the song that she prefers the private young man, but his family don't seem to like her. So she concocts a situation where he'll spill some water on his doorstep. She'll pass by and trip and slip and fall. And in this way, he'll have to take her into his family home and they'll have to get to know her.
That's a great strategy. And in the meantime, she's got two lovers.
Indeed.
Best of all worlds, I would say. Well, thank you very much to Los Desterrados for coming in. Thanks to you, Danielle, and to you, Hayley, for joining me in this conversation about the group. The members of the band are Mark Greenfield and Peter Radcliffe on percussion, Daniel Jonas on guitar, oud, and vocals, Hayley Blitz, singer, Drew Salida, guitar, flute, and vocals, Len Bendel on bass and vocals, and Ilana Kravitz on violin. Los Desterrados here in the World Roots Studio end the program with their song Dos Amantes.
Group Los Desterrados, recorded in Radio 3 studios, ending this week's World Roots. The programme was introduced by Lucy Duran. This is BBC Radio 3. It's a couple of minutes past 11, and now jazz lineup. Tonight, Kevin Legendre marks the 40th anniversary of the death of a UK jazz legend, Tubby Hayes, with a session featuring the Simon Spillett Quartet. But first, a reminder of what made Tubby Hayes into the legend in the first place. Part of his Cherokee.
Cherokee by the Tubby Hayes Orchestra, sounding absolutely glorious. Bob Sinfield, that is one of the great bebop anthems, written by Ray Noble, covered by the greats Charlie Parker, Sarah Vaughan and Duke Ellington, among many others. What do you like about Tubby's version?
I love the way that two eras seem to come together there, Kevin, because you've got Ray Noble, a stalwart of the pre-war era, who composed it, and then you've got Tubby, who has that pre-war legacy. His father was in, I think, the BBC Revue Orchestra as a violinist, and he grew up in the wake of the dance band popularity. But there he is, blazing, I think, very much a new trail in 1961 with a real bullet train sound that is a trademark of his. And it's the sort of thing that really makes you sit up and take notice, as I did the very first time I heard it.
It's absolutely rip-roaring, isn't it? That was recorded in 1961, by which time he'd already made his mark on British jazz as a member of the Jazz Couriers, I believe.
He was extraordinary in that he started as a full-on musician at the age of 15. He managed to get himself expelled from Rutledge Grammar School the year before for being too much into his jazz and not enough into his studies. And so he packed years and years of first-hand proper jazz experience into his late teens.
Absolutely.
By the time we heard him there, he really knew what he was doing.
Bullet train is the word. Energy, it's, as I say, it's rip-roaring. Stephen, I know that you're a huge fan as well. When did you first discover the music?
This was the first Tubby Hayes record I ever obtained. I was a jazz mad teenager, 13, 14, thereabouts, and discovered a band that Clark Tracy's dad used to play in. And Stan played in the Ted Heath band. That was my introduction to British jazz. And I became almost obsessed with not only the band, but these musicians. And any recording I could find that featured them, I would be dying to get my hands on. And discovered, thumbing through the record collection in my local library, the LP with that track on it. Looked at the names on the back, recognised them from Ted's band, got the record home, stuck it on the turntable, and this bullet train, as you described, the sound of Tubby Hayes, flew out of the speakers, and I sat there staring at the speakers thinking, what on earth have I just heard?
Once heard, never forgotten.
I was hooked from then on in.
Great. Well, I think that's a fantastic introduction for us to go to some Tubby Hayes music. Gentlemen and listeners at home, you're in for a real treat now. We're going to hear from a man deeply influenced by the sounds of Tubby Hayes, but who also writes his own tunes and has a sound of his own. Let's get straight to the music and welcome today's session band, the Simon Spillett Quartet. Since making his debut in the late 90s with the Millennium Jazz Orchestra, tenor saxophonist Simon Spillett has been an important presence in British jazz, and he definitely consolidates that with his excellent current band. It's a pleasure to welcome them here today on Jazz Lineup, performing for us at the BBC Maidervale Studios. Opening with Royal Ascot, it's the Simon Spillett Quartet featuring Steve Melling on piano, Alec Dankworth on double bass, Clark Tracy on drums, and of course Simon Spillett on tenor saxophone.